Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back here on a Friday. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, how you doing this morning?
Joe, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, man, it would have been nice to somehow win a playoff game last week there in that last drive. But it's over, Mike. So now I'm just a fan and watching all the rest of these games. So I want to ask you, first of all, there's so much news, and it's only going to get crazier. Where do you think Sean Payton ends up?
Well, I think Carolina, if I had to guess one right now. But that assumes that his interview with owner David Tepper goes well. There's a chance you get a couple of double-A positive personalities in the same room together, and one won't shut up and let the other one talk, and they end up hating each other. I mean, that could happen, right? Sometimes people are too much alike to ever get along. And Sean Payton, the best at what he does, among the best. There are several that would fall into that category. David Tepper, one of the richest owners in the NFL, very successful in everything he's ever done. But if they could make it work, that would make sense to me. One thing to keep in mind, because Peyton has made it clear he's coming back this year or next year. If you wait until next year, you've got $20 to $25 million that goes away and never comes back that you're not making this year. I think he's inclined to look for a path back to the NFL this year, whether it's the Broncos or the Panthers. Those would be the two. With the Panthers, he's got more of a clean slate at the quarterback position and a better path to contention year in and year out. You jump into the AFC West, you're dealing with Patrick Mahomes every year. And Peyton is one of the few coaches that were early adopters of Patrick Mahomes, who knew he was going to be special before we all knew he was going to be special. I think he would probably prefer to avoid Mahomes if he could, but having the Broncos interested is exactly the kind of thing that gets him what he wants from David Tepper when it's time to sit down and put a package together. So of the teams right now, I'd say the Panthers, and I think Peyton is keenly aware of what it costs and what it means to wait until next year to come back.
Then the other side of that, Mike, is Vic Fangio, who we hear his name for defensive coordinator job just about everywhere. You think he goes with Sean Payton, or you think he's open to just seeing what the best defense is out there that has the most talent?
Well, I know one of the various Sunday splash reports during the season was that Vic Fangio is already kind of penciled in to Payton's staff, and it was viewed as, oh, he's really serious about coming back this year. Well, no, if you're even going to explore the possibility, you have to have a rough idea of who your staff was going to be. He had a rough idea of who his staff was going to be last year when he was secretly negotiating with the Dolphins to come coach in Miami. You don't just show up and take the job and then say, gee, I wonder who I'm going to hire to fill out these key positions. So Fangio has been connected to Peyton, but Fangio's been interviewing. I think Atlanta was a spot where he looked. I think Minnesota should be calling him. They hired Ed Donatell with the idea of having Fangio's defense. Well, that didn't work. So why not just go get Fangio? Why not don't trust one of the guys who worked for Fangio to give right. You Fangio's defense. Get Fangio. The Vikings team overall doesn't need much by way of defensive improvement to become an elite team, and that could attract Fangio if the Vikings are willing to pay enough to get his attention. So Yeah, I think he's going to have options after sitting out this past year and getting paid not to coach. And he is a proven commodity as a defensive coordinator. And we see that time and again. Guys who are great coordinators, who are so great, they become coaches and they're not very great, but then they go back and they're great coordinators again. They're really good at that job. They're just not good enough at the next job up.
Well, it's funny you said that because Brian Flores' name's going to pop up here and has already. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator, even for what he did last year to help the defense out. What are your thoughts on Brian Flores getting one of these defensive coordinator jobs?
Hey, Joe, I think he's going to be the head coach of the Cardinals. That's what I think.
Wow.
And for a couple of reasons. First of all, he's exactly what the Cardinals are looking for right now, because when we see a coach get fired, teams are wired to go out and hire the guy who is the exact opposite of the guy they used to have from a personality standpoint. Look at Mike McDaniel, how different he is, diametrically opposed to Brian Flores. Look at Cliff Kingsbury. Now, Kingsbury and McDaniel are similar but different, but they're more along the go easy on the players, don't be too demanding, right? Flores is going to come in, kick ass, and take names. The other thing that attracts the Cardinals to Flores, the Cardinals are caught up in this Flores lawsuit, which is still pending. Flores didn't sue the Cardinals, but Steve Wilks did. Steve Wilks is one of the plaintiffs. When Flores interviewed for the Texans job last year and didn't get it, what did he do? He joined the Texans, arguing that they didn't hire him in retaliation for him engaging in federally protected activities. You know, people think it's okay to shun someone because they've sued you. It's not okay to say, yeah, I'm not giving that person a job because they sued one of our business partners. That's not a legitimate reason to not hire someone. So Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, a former prosecutor, a lawyer, he understands, I believe, and this is talk that's going around the league too, he understands the benefit from a business standpoint, from a legal standpoint, of hiring Flores. And when you look at what he did in Miami, when you look at what Cliff Kingsbury did in Arizona, and when you look at what Kyler Murray needs right now, he needs Brian Flores to come in there and kick his butt and get him to understand what he has to do to embrace greatness. You want to be great? This is what you have to do. I was around Tom Brady for 10 years plus in New England. This is what you need to do if you want to be great. This is your chance to be great. And if not, I'll go trade for Deshaun Watson. I'm kidding about that part. But the Kyler Murray aspect, that they want to get more out of him. And what's more effective, a head coach who can speak to him and encourage him and motivate him, or some stupid-ass four-hour study clause in his contract? Flores will do a lot more than any four-hour study clause would ever have done for Kyler Murray.
Mike, you're ready to switch over to some quarterbacks here. The Lamar Jackson thing, the 200%, he's our guy, and he's going to help us pick the offensive coordinator. He wants to get paid, number one. I think they got a pretty good idea, the guaranteed money he wants. Do they finally get that deal done, or are we going to be talking about a franchise tag here soon?
There was some interesting stuff lurking between the lines in what they said and didn't say yesterday about Lamar Jackson. Here's what I believe is going to happen. They're going to try their best to negotiate a long-term contract with Lamar Jackson. Barring some sort of dramatic change in his mindset or his approach, they're not going to get one done. You know, it's funny, yesterday Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, talked about Lamar the player and Lamar the agent. And we love Lamar the player. He never shared his views on Lamar the agent. I don't think they care for Lamar the agent. I don't think they believe they can communicate with Lamar the agent. Lamar the agent thinks that someone is just going to drop a Deshaun Watson contract on the table in front of him to sign with no negotiation, no discussion, no understanding of the broader dynamics and why Deshaun Watson got that deal from the Browns and what he had to do, what his agents had to do to set that deal up. He just wants to be given that deal. So I don't think they're going to work out the long-term deal unless he dramatically changes his viewpoint. And then I believe the Ravens will use the base franchise tag, non-exclusive, allowing him to go out and try to get that contract he wants from another team. And then that's going to be an adventure, Joe. First of all, who's he going to call? Who's he going to call? Joe Douglas? Hey, I want to negotiate a contract with you. And then I remember back before the draft when he was unrepresented, he's always had no agent. Teams were trying to set up workouts and visits with him, and they couldn't get in touch with him. Wouldn't that be something if Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, or somebody else is trying to track him down because they want to give him a contract offer and they just can't get in touch with him? So that's one of the other reasons to have an agent. They know how to get in touch with the agents, and the agents know how to get in touch with them. But it could be, Joe, the only way he stays in Baltimore is to have the chance to see what else isn't out there. You know, I want this 5-year fully guaranteed contract. I go out to the open market, and whatever teams may be interested, nobody's going to offer me 5 years fully guaranteed, and the best they offer me isn't any better than what the Ravens have offered me. Well, okay, now I know. I'll just stay with the Ravens.
Yeah. God, it's just crazy. Just spend a little extra money and go get an agent. I know Drew Rosenhaus has talked to him a little bit, but he's just dead set against having a full-time, big-time agent in there. Mike.
And, Joe, let me say this, because players who don't want to use agents think that all they do is send a few emails, finalize a deal, and then collect 1%, 2%, or 3%. They do so much more than that. And I'll give you an example. What's gone on the past week? All this noise in the media about Lamar not playing last weekend, Mike Vick going on Fox and saying, put a brace on it.
Good point.
A good agent is going to relentlessly pursue Mike Vick and get him to understand what's going on, contact others in the media and get them to understand, change the narrative. Because Lamar came out of last week looking like the bad guy, in part because he didn't have anybody defending him against the voices that were painting him with that brush.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point. Justin Herbert, no extension. Will he have one this offseason, in your opinion?
Oh, I think he will. I think they need to get him taken care of. Part of it is, let's see what happens with Lamar Jackson. Part of it is, let's see what happens with Joe Burrow. Part of it is, let's see what happens with Jalen Hurts. Nobody wants to go first in a situation like that. I think Herbert's the best of them, although Burrow is pretty damn close. See, we can't – with Herbert, like, how much of the team's failures are on him? I mean, he's this great physical talent, and he throws lasers, and he can run, and he can do so many things. But they've only been to the playoffs once.
Right.
They blew that 27-point lead. Is it him? Is it partially him? Does he need to step up and exert more leadership and personality? He's a quiet guy. These are all questions that I think are to be answered, but obviously he's a quarterback you build around. I'm not doubting the skill and ability. I'm just asking, how close to the top of the market do you put Justin Herbert? But I think they'd be wise to get him signed. I don't know how wise they were to fire offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and keep Brandon Staley. That felt like a half measure to me. Because the same excuses you can make to keep Brandon Staley would apply to Joe Lombardi, so why are you getting rid of him? And the same reasons you fire Joe Lombardi are reasons you would fire Brandon Staley. They had their shot at Sean Payton. I don't think they wanted to pay him. And the question is, if you want to take over that market, right, if you want to become a potential Super Bowl contender, how much are you willing to spend? And, Joe, I think a lot of these owners, they talk tough, they puff out their chest, they say they want to win Super Bowls. I think they just want the fan base to think they're trying. I think for a lot of these teams, there's a baseline that they're trying to pass. Usually it's contending beyond Thanksgiving,
right,
being in the mix in December, make the playoffs every other year. I think a lot of owners just say, that's good enough for us. Because you know what? When you try to do more than that, when you reach for that brass ring, there's a chance you're going to fall off the horse.
So I want to ask you just to tie right off of Justin Herbert to – Tua Tagovailoa, who Chris Greer, as you know, came out a few days ago and said, he's our guy next year, so we can stop. I don't know how many times I have to tell you, he's our guy. Do you see them picking up, first of all, the fifth-year option, which is, I think they came in at $22 million or so. I'm not even going to ask you about the extension. I think I'm just wondering if they're going to pick up the option. What do you think happens?
Well, Joe, look, I'll say what I said on our show this week about – everything that they're saying about Tua. Actions speak louder than words. All the things they're saying now are completely non-binding. And I think that organizationally, they are trying their damnedest to not put any additional pressure or stress or strain on Tua as he continues to recover from the concussion he suffered on Christmas Day. And we know, and I'm sure you've heard plenty of talk about how he reacted to the Deshaun Watson trade discussions, how it hung over him. It was a dark cloud for him. He was upset by it. Look at how much better he performed once the trade deadline came and went during the 2021 season. I think that out of consideration to Tua, they're circling the wagons and saying all the right things. If they want to convince anyone outside the building that they mean what they say, pick up the fifth-year option right now. You can pick it up right now. You can sign him to a long-term contract right now, or at least you can start the negotiations now. So why do you never believe anything anyone says? Well, because I've been doing this 21 years, and I can list example after example of people saying one thing and doing the exact opposite, i.e. or e.g., I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. So I just think that they have to, I believe, they have to say positive things about Tua until the moment they decide to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I would assume that all options are on the table, including Lamar Jackson. There's a way for them to pursue Lamar Jackson, even though they don't have a first-round pick in 2023, because you can't sign into an offer sheet if they use the non-exclusive franchise tag because you don't have a 2023 draft pick. But the moment this year's draft ends, Joe, that's when they could sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet, because it doesn't say which two first-round picks. It's just your next two first-round picks. 24 and 25 first-round picks would be the price to pay if the Dolphins were to sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet. And we've seen and heard enough to tell us that if he plays for another team, his hometown team is a team he'd be interested in. So these are all things to be determined. And there's a window there between the draft and the deadline for the 50-year option where they could commence the process of courting and pursuing Lamar Jackson if that's something they plan to do.
Mike, I got to tell you, Chris Greer sold me the way he said it, not once but twice. I thought, like, hey, guys, you can stop, man. He's our guy going forward.
Pick up the option. Then pick up the option. If he's your guy, pick up the option. And, Joe, let me just say one more thing. This idea that Tua is no more susceptible to a concussion than anyone else. Well, it's not whether he's susceptible to it. It's how many is too many. And it's also, something that you shined a light on for me back when it happened. He's not getting rid of the football, so he's getting ragdolled to the ground. The physics aren't in his favor. He's not big enough to hold on to the ball that long. He gets thrown to the ground and he hits his head. So, yeah, if Tom Brady and Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen all hit their head on the ground with the same force, they're all subject to a potential concussion. But you never see it happen to those guys. No. You see it happen to Tua over and over again.
Yeah. No, it is going to be really interesting after Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel's little press conference a couple of days ago on what's going to happen here in this offseason. So I want to ask you this, and I'll leave you alone. We've been talking about all these franchise quarterbacks. What do we call Purdy? He hasn't lost a friggin' game. How do you look at Purdy at San Francisco?
Well, you know, it's funny, we did a draft today to end our show of the most important non-quarterbacks in the divisional round because the quarterback's the most important guy. In San Francisco, he's not. He's right. Just not. Now, I got to give him credit for not freaking out. He had a couple of rough throws early in the Seahawks game, got it under control. And it's pretty easy to come in to run an offense when it's Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and that stifling defense led by Nick Bosa. But, not a franchise quarterback yet, but this is the time of year where franchise quarterbacks are made. One of my big concerns for the Eagles this weekend, and I think this is true of any defense, they don't regard Daniel Jones as a great quarterback. So when you have that attitude, what happens? While you're looking down your nose at him, he's running by you for a touchdown, or he's throwing the ball past you for a touchdown. And Daniel Jones is kind of meeting the moment and rising to the occasion. But look back over the past 20 years. There aren't many guys who have won Super Bowls where we come to the conclusion they're not good quarterbacks. Winning that Super Bowl is the ultimate litmus test that separates quarterback from franchise quarterback. So if Brock Purdy ends up hoisting that Lombardi and running around with it, then that's when you call the guy a franchise quarterback. It's with each win, like people think the 49ers have some decision to make next year. With each win, they don't. They get to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. I remember somebody was saying, Jimmy Garoppolo could come back and play in the Super Bowl. If they get to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo's ass is on the bench, Joe.
Right, 100%. Man, it's amazing. What What another just unbelievable story that people never saw coming. Last guy in the draft potentially winning a friggin' Super Bowl. I know there's still a lot of work ahead, but what a crazy story. Mike, thank you, man. Really appreciate your time. A lot of good stuff today. Thank you.
Thanks, Josie, pal.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. As we're getting ready to take a quick break here. A lot of wild stuff in the league. Wow. All right, right now I want to tell you about Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Trained and certified technicians on more than 100 trucks every day, 7 days a week. Air Around the Clock's always ready for you. Whether you need a new air conditioning unit, we have them in stock. Or the one you have right now just needs to be fixed. We do that real well and have. It's been about great service for more than 30 years. When Big Daddy Lenny, who we lost, when he started this thing, it was going to be, and it still is, built on service to people. And when it comes to air conditioning, like plumbing, you want to make sure you got really good people to take care of those problems quickly. And guess what? When we talk about the plumbing, you talk about licensed, experienced plumbers, 7 days a week for all your daily plumbing problems inside and outside. We're also the Water Heater Kings of South Florida. We have a box trucks filled with all size Rheem water heaters for same-day installation. That's our goal every day. Same-day installation. That's great service. Financing plans, all you have to do is go to 855-PLUMBER, 855-PLUMBER, and you're getting part of that Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing family. Hey, still family-owned and going strong. Eric and the boys over there, check out ATC's Google reviews. They have over 1,200 Google reviews and a 4.4 out of 5 rating. Great service at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing, waiting for you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.